And I do try to preach evangelistic messages. But some of them that God lays on my heart, they're evangelistic. I never have to preach anything that someone couldn't get saved by listening to it. And I know that when the Lord, so I know he's in them because even though I've learned and all, he's taught me an awful lot. I have learned you can't serve him till you know him. And you've got to get saved before you can learn anything. And I've learned that. And so you say, well, didn't you know that when you came up here? When I got saved, let me tell you what I knew. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. And in desperation, I finally realized Jesus did it all on the cross. And if I'd call on him, he'd save me. And I did. And how much did I know about Jesus then? That he was the Son of God. That he loved me. How did I know that? The Holy Spirit saved me instantly. And I already knew he was the Son of God. I already knew he died for me on the cross. But I didn't know he just offered himself completely. And I was totally helpless. But that night that I got saved, I pulled an Italian charge. I just gave up. And I trusted him, and that was it. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this because this is something it's taken me a long time to learn. And I believe that God was in it. And I believe that when I was wrong, he corrected me. And if I find something wrong in this message later, I'll tell you I'm sorry and that I didn't get it just right. And I don't blame God. I just wanted to preach it that way and just tried to override his will. You say, preachers don't do that. Oh, yeah, they do. I've done it, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. But afterwards, I did. Do not die in the absence of light and darkness. Do not die in the absence of light and darkness. Come out from hiding in darkness into light. It's as simple as this. How did Adam and Eve get saved? They were hiding in the woods. And the Lord said, "Where art thou?" He already knew. They knew enough about him to know he knew. So they came out. And Adam blamed Eve. And Eve blamed Adam. And they both kind of insinuated, with Adam particularly, that this wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the woman. Well, you say, they weren't saved then. I think they were, because I think they came out of hiding and they knew what they did was wrong. They knew they had disobeyed him. And they came out and they confessed what they had done. And I believe that they taught their children that they needed to come out of hiding. They may not have used those exact words. But along came Seth. And Seth had maintained a perfect line. There weren't any breaks in it. And they all believed and called upon the name of the Lord. And then Seth, when his son Enos was born, Adam and Eve said, "Wait a minute, Eve had just said, I got another seed from the Lord. I got another man-child from the Lord." And lo and behold, they said, which one is it? And when they did that, all of a sudden, it says, immediately on the birth of Enos, it says, "And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord." There are so many different names of the Lord that I can't. You look at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. They're there. Did I know that when I got saved? No, absolutely not. I didn't even have a hint of it. You say, "Well, how much did you know?" I knew Jesus was the Son of God. And I knew all of a sudden that he died for me, and I couldn't get to heaven any other way. And I asked him to save me, and I went forward. And I believed. Been saved ever since. But you don't stop trying to run away from God because you still got a carnal nature. So I want to talk a little bit about that. If you'll just, I've told you this several times, just take the word light out of your concordance. See how many times the word light is used and see how many times it's applied to the Lord himself, either in the light of salvation, when the light shines into you from the Holy Spirit, or in the time afterwards when he begins to reveal to you some things about himself when you put the yoke on and you start to learn who saved you. I've had a lot of friends in my life. Some of them when I was young were lost. But why did I like them? I said, "Well, the first time I saw him, I liked him." That ain't true. that isn't true. I got to know him. And, I didn't like John McCrae. I didn't like Carl Hampel. They were Catholics, but that isn't why I didn't like them. I liked Floyd Webb, because Floyd Webb liked me. And Floyd Webb was just a different kind of guy. I like Bob Priest, and he was Catholic. They were all Catholic. But I made my choice and decision after I got to know him. Well, listen, I was desperate when I went to Jesus, and I'll have to confess to you that I went to him in desperation. But you know what? After I got to know him, when I put the yoke on, and I began to realize gradually and slowly over a period of time how little I knew about him, how little I loved him, and more how much he loved me, I changed. God changed me. I can't take any credit. He worked through Imogene some of the time. But I was around her too much. I said, there's something different about her. And I thought, she doesn't know as much about as I do about the Bible. She didn't have to. She was submissive to God. And so she let me be the head of the house. And really, she was a wonderful mother. She had more common sense than I'll ever have. But for some reason, God chose me to preach. He gave me to her to me, and she got the worst end of the deal. But the truth is, it was a wonderful marriage. And in heaven, if I don't get to live with her, that's okay. And if she doesn't get to live with me in the same place, that's okay. I'm so thankful that God gave her to me. I hope we'll get to live together. You say, well, is that your carnal nature speaking? Can't tell. Tune in next week. Says, the same was in the light of Jesus gives eternal life. Since the pre-incarnate Jesus seed is the I Am. John 1 and 1 through 4. Now you've already heard this and you know this, but I'm going to repeat it again. In the beginning was the Word, capitalized. And the Word, capitalized, was with God. And the Word was God. That's pretty direct. And if you go through and look at all the Greek tenses and different things in there, I guarantee you this indicates that Jesus was God. He is the Word, the living Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Yeah, the Father made it, but Jesus just kind of looked on. No. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's my Savior. That's Him. In Him was life. What was His life? What is it now? And the life was the light of men. When I came into the world, the Lord knew just exactly who I was. He knew exactly what I'd do. That's not predestination. That's foreknowledge. And based on that foreknowledge, He worked with me and guided me and directed me like a stick in a stream. We used to race little sticks in a stream. And when Tommy Brown surrendered to preach, I said, I'm going to tell you one thing, Tommy Brown. You're going to have to float your own stick. Because I wasted a long time on Jen O'Lynn. And I said, I'm the one that called him to preach, and I didn't even know it. You said, well, you shouldn't be telling us that. This is long since buried in the past. I just wanted him to preach. He was an excellent speaker. But Tommy Brown, I said, I'm not going to do that to you. I said, you're going to have to work for it. He'll tell you about it. And lo and behold, he turned out to be a wonderful preacher, more intelligent than Jen O'Lynn ever was, and more intelligent than his father-in-law, and he's a better preacher than I am right now. So the truth of it, and that isn't saying a whole lot, but that's the truth. He says, that whosoever believeth in him, he said, in him was life, the light was the light of men. And as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, you know exactly what that means. He said, I'm going to have to be lifted up. And he was lifted up. He was resurrected from the dead. You say, well, who resurrected him? The Father. You say, well, I thought you said he fulfilled the office of the Father. You're not going to like this, but that's all right. He resurrected himself, if you want to know the truth. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I have eternal life. I believe in him. I'm not going to perish. I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. You say, well, what are you concerned about? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've got everlasting life. That's a fact. It's not an opinion. It's not an idea. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world. Well, but that the world, he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was the office of the Son. That's the full world. That's what he fulfilled. You say, well, the Father sent him. That was an office. You say, well, you mean Jesus Christ was God? He was what's called Jehovah? Yeah, you'll find him in the first verse in Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what God is there? It says Jehovah. He was Jehovah. You know who Jehovah is? One God. And that one God fulfilled three offices. And he even put them in Isaiah and told you what they were. Might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I'm not condemned. But I'm going to show you why. And I'm going to show you why people go to hell. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When I got saved, I believed Jesus was the Son of God. My Sunday school teachers all taught me that. And I believed it, you know, but I didn't know much about him. And finally, the night I got saved, after trying for 4 years to please him and not doing it, I knew something was wrong. And that night, it's suddenly the Holy Spirit revealed to me, and he didn't whisper in my ear or anything. He did it all. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. And I asked him to save me. And I knew that I had faith in him, because I wouldn't have prayed to a dead man. You've heard me use that expression quite often. I got saved. The pastor kept trying to save me when I got down front by taking me down a Roman road. No. I was already saved. Finally, I gave up, and I said, he kept saying, do you feel saved? I said, oh, yeah. I just said, I feel saved. And that satisfied him, but God had already satisfied me that I was saved. And now, what is the condemnation? And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. That night, light came into my heart. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you know how I came to find out I was helpless? Because the condemnation was that I love darkness rather than light, and I was trying to use the part of me that was darkness to get saved. And finally, I realized how evil my deeds were. You say, well, you should have realized that from the start. Well, welcome to the club, folks. Very few ever really, have you ever realized that either, and that's the truth. Now he says, John 6:47-69. Do you know how many missionary Baptists I found that didn't understand this? I've been a missionary Baptist all my life. I had to be. I didn't have any choice. Because if I'd ever gotten out of it, they'd have probably took me outside and stoned me. That's how primitive they were when I was growing up. Not all missionary Baptists. John 6:47-69. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath. That hath is a present indicative active. Do you know the Holy Spirit uses verbs, nouns, all that stuff? Do you know he inspires them just as well as he does the ones that we like to use so much? He said, I am the bread, that bread of life. You know what the Catholic Church teaches? Whenever they have their communion. And I'm going to tell you this because it's important. Now, I've told you many times. When they put that little round tablet, flake of on your tongue, they believe it's a sacrament. That adds to your salvation. They don't believe you're everlastingly sealed, and that you're going to go to hell if you don't call upon the name of the Lord, if you don't turn to the Lord, repent, turn, put your faith in Jesus Christ. They think, well, you got to do more than that. You got to put that little wafer on there, and as it goes down, it turns into the flesh of Jesus. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. You know what they believe in the Catholic Church? That when they give you that grape juice, well, they use real wine most of the time. I think they use it all the time, but I'm not sure of that. But I think, yeah, I should know, because I worked for an Episcopalian church as a janitor while I was going through the seminary in Little Rock. And my job was to take, when the liquor truck came up, they had, I had to put all the the wine in the place because they used it. You say, well, you shouldn't have worked there. Listen, don't talk to me about that. I had seven children, and I had to support them, and I didn't drink any of the wine. And I witnessed to both the rector and the one that was assistant rector. And I talked to them about the Lord. And the assistant rector told me, he said, I said, why do you go ahead and christen those children and baptize them, babies? He said, I don't believe in that. I said, well, why do you do it? He said, I couldn't stay in this church. Listen, that man make more in a month than I make in a year. And he was the assistant. So I don't jump, blame me for working for that bunch. It's okay. A lot of preachers work for, I didn't go out on the wine truck and hold a whole bottle in my hand or do anything like that. I just went right ahead and made the money. They paid me and I fed my family. Okay, that settles that. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness or dead. He said, I'm not talking about physical bread, the manna that you eat. He said, I'm not talking about that. He says, this is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Well, you can eat all the light bread you want or any special stuff. I love the stuff. It's got those little crinkles in it and all those little nuts and stuff in it that's supposed to make you so good, but I really like the taste of the nuts, to tell you the truth. He said, this is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. You see what I believe? The Catholics believe this. You say, is that why you preach against the universal church all the time? Absolutely. You'd be surprised how many churches believe those are sacraments. They are ordinances. Now, God made them where you could keep them because he gave you a way. Not that you didn't, if you goofed up, he'd forgive you. And a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us this flesh to eat? Notice in a minute who these folks are. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Why didn't he say Son of God? Because they would have immediately tried to stone him. Anyone that heard it that wasn't among the disciples there. That you eat the flesh of the Son and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, I want to tell you, I have eaten his body. I have drunk his blood. That's it. I have. You say, are you sure? I'm absolutely positive. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. You say, well, when did you do that? The moment that I accepted him as my Savior, asked him to save me, and the everlasting Father, the Comforter, and Almighty God, and the Prince of Peace came into me. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And believe me, it tasted wonderful. You say, did you know what was happening? I was so glad I was saved. I didn't jump over any picnic benches or pews. I didn't shout hallelujah. I just felt a great feeling of relief. You say, well, I didn't feel that way. That don't mean you weren't saved. But I tell you what, I think God gave this hard head something to realize. I didn't jump anything, but I just felt wonderful. I hadn't felt wonderful for 4 years. And the only reason I kept going to church is because I knew there was something wrong with me. So I thought, if I'll just try harder and try harder and try harder and try harder, I tried. I couldn't do it. You say, who taught you God? And finally, when I got saved, who was it that came into me? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Aren't you indwelled by Christ? Haven't you partaken of him? Isn't he in you? Isn't he life? Isn't his blood in you? You say, well, how's his blood in me? In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Believe it or not, he's God. Now, he says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I don't have to worry about that. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I have eaten his flesh. I have drunk his blood. You say, when did you do that? The night I got saved. You say, did you understand that? No. You know why I get so irritated with people after they quit coming to church after they get saved? That's wrong. It's flat wrong. You say, well, why didn't he send them all to hell? Believe it or not, the God that saved me is the most compassionate individual. There's only one God. His compassion far exceeds what I thought when I got saved. Back then, man, I was a legalist, and I just thought, you know, well, I don't want to go to hell. And finally, God showed me in his word. But I couldn't understand it. And it wasn't because I was special. It was because God wanted to teach me, and I wanted to be taught. You say, well, why did you wait until you were 23? Same reason I waited till I was 38. I kind of liked being what I was. And so I wasn't mean or snarly or anything. All my guys worked for me. I was especially good to them. They thought I was Mr. Wonderful. But I didn't, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't go out and drink and cuss and all that stuff. I got drunk one time and I thought my wife was going to kill me. And all it was a little tipsy. I wasn't really drunk. I got an excuse for it, but it ain't valid. But I tell you one thing, I got to where I did it that one time, and that's the only time I ever did it. You say, well, did you fear her about as much as I feared the Lord? So between the Lord and her, I never took another drink. Never did like beer anyway, but I did it because this guy was an old friend of mine. That's no excuse. He says, that was a long, 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 long time ago. He said, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Go over sometime to the 7th, to the 15th and 17th chapter of John, and look at where he keeps saying, I'm in the Father is in me, you are in the Father is in me, I am in the Father. And you see, it's like a circle. And why does he keep repeating that? He wants you to understand, look who I am. Look who you've got living inside you. Look how much he loves you. You say, well, who loves you? That's an old, somebody used to say that on TV all the time. Who loves you? Well, I'll tell you who loves me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you who he is. His name is Jesus. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For I've got him in me, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I never felt so good about anything in my life as I understand that. Because the Catholics, think of all the religious people they've got. They have schools that are much more influential and have many more dedicated teachers in them that teach heresy than we do. We came from behind the plow. Old country boys that didn't know their left foot from the ground as far as pie R squared and cornbread is round. But by God, he made sure that he taught us things. And he taught us. And yeah, we got schools. That's fine. But what happened was they quit teaching this in our churches. They quit it. You say, well, what are you talking about? North Africa? When the Catholics, and also in the Catholic Church, and when the church spread across Europe, why don't we have any scriptural churches over there anymore? Because the Gnostics took them over. The Gnostic took them over, and the Nicolaitans took them over. And they taught false doctrine. And our churches picked it up. I'm not saying missionary Baptist churches aren't scriptural, but I'm saying that the truth of the matter is, there've always been churches like us that taught it. You know what happened? They got martyred. They got slaughtered. They got killed. And I'm not ashamed anymore. If they kill me, fine. I'd love to have a great reward in heaven. You say, well, I bet you'd squeal like a pig. I bet I would too, and they wouldn't even have to pull my tail. You say, would you deny the faith? I don't think so, but I'm not going to say that because Peter did, and I probably would do the same thing. You say, oh, well, you'd go to hell. Well, Peter didn't go to hell, did he? But the truth of the matter is, you have to learn to be honest with yourself and with God. He said, As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. And he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. The life that was in the Father was Jesus Christ. And the life that was in Jesus Christ was the Father. You say, well, that's awful confusing. That's because we're human beings. We don't even when we get saved, we don't know what that is. And if you're sitting here and you're not saved, this is like a riddle to you. This is bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He's in me. He's in me. I'm covered by his blood. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And when God looks at me, God certainly knows that I'm covered with the blood of his son, and I don't have any other hope of reaching heaven. But there is no other hope. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When I went to Capernaum, it was a big disappointment, because that's where most of the heresy started in among the Jews. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, now notice, disciples? You say, do you think these people were saved? I think some of them were. When they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Do you know there are people who are saved that don't understand this? Whose fault is that? It's certainly not God's. Well, what caused it? Slowly removing the landmarks, bit by bit by bit. You say, that's a new teaching, Brother McElmore. No, that's not a new teaching. It was something I didn't know when I got saved. You didn't either. You didn't either. And the truth of the matter is, if I had had to know all that, how could I ever have learned it if I hadn't studied to show myself approved unto God, not unto you? And so, I thank God for the preachers we've got in this church now, because I tell you what, they're not trying to please you. They're trying to please God. Because you can't have any rest and peace if you start teaching false doctrine, because pretty soon your conscience gets seared over with a hot iron. You say, well, I guess they all go to hell. Not all of them. Then, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. A disciple walks with him. Oh, good grief. Here I am, 84 years old. Think of the number of missionary Baptist churches I've gone to. Went to. Think of how long I've pastored here. You know why I haven't left here? Because I was saved. And I believed everything he said in this Bible. And I knew if I kept studying, God would show me where it was wrong. And so God did. And I'm showing you what's wrong. And that's why you say, well, these people couldn't possibly have been saved. Listen, just because many people get saved when they turn toward God, when they repent toward God, turn around toward God, lost as a goose, and put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're saved. You say, I can't believe that. Well, I do. Then Simon Peter answered, how many of them are there? Well, I don't take a head count. David wasn't supposed to number the tribes, and he did. I don't number which one's in. I can't look in their eyes like a new lighter says they can and tell whether they're lost or saved. I've heard so much false doctrine, so much garbage, it's pitiful. And if you believe any of that false doctrine, you talk to me, I'll tone down my voice, and I'll be real nice to you, and I won't hurt your feelings, because I want to win you. Not me, but the Lord. And I won't reject you, and I won't tell you how bad off you are. But if you'll give me a chance, I'll teach you exactly what I believe, and I'll teach you why, and maybe you can tell me some things. Charlie Holloman, he's changed my mind on some things about Malachi, the last chapter in Malachi. Ken's changed my mind on some things. I changed my mind some, if you can tell me that. And that's why I'm so glad to have you and your brother down here, because I trust you two. And I've had plenty of chances to know who not to trust. And I'm turning into an expert now. But when I think I've turned into an expert, that's exactly when I'm going to be fooled. Don't you dare fool me. Thou hast heard the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's all you have to do. He's the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. I believed he was the Son of God. I didn't know he was Almighty God. I didn't know he was the everlasting Father. I didn't understand all that stuff about how they indwelled us. I didn't understand that. And by the mercy of God, he kept working with me and working with me until I realized, I thought, well, now I'm fine. I know that I was totally helpless and I'm just depending on Jesus. And then I suddenly began to discover there's so much about him you don't understand, you dummy. I thought, well, good grief, I've been through a seminary. I've been through institutions of higher learning. I'm a geologist. I'm a meteorologist. Surely I can understand. No! No! Matter of fact, that's a handicap to you. And God only put me through all those schools so I could tell you, don't worry. God is going to destroy the earth, not man. And I'm so thankful that I know for sure that we're going out of here on the seventh trumpet. Now, if you want to believe that last part is a split rapture, I got no problem with you at all. And I really don't have a problem with you on the rapture in any way. Because that's just something that has become so corrupted, it's pitiable. And I can understand why people believe in a split rapture. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense until you begin to understand that a lot of people get saved. They get saved in the wrong church. And some false teacher, namely the pastor, starts teaching them all this garbage, and they believe it. Well, I tell you what, God doesn't stop working with them. And when somebody comes in here from a false church, I do everything I possibly can, not to hurt their feelings, but to teach them the truth. Did those women come back when you were there on Saturday? They weren't there today. Pray for us, because these two women, I don't know, but I tried to be as gentle as possible. He said, Luke 8:15-17. This is over at the nursing home. That's the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. Teach the truth and do everything I can not to hurt their feelings. But after I've run the course, if they just don't believe it, there's nothing else I can do. I never could do anything anyway, but I keep hoping the Holy Spirit will change them. I've seen him do it, so I know it's possible. So let's see. But that on the good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart? What about that? Were you born with an honest and good heart? Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Every one of you were born with a rotten heart. You may have been a cute little baby. Your mom and dad may have thought you were just wonderful, 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 wonderful. And you were. And they felt that way, and that's wonderful. But sooner or later, that little booger is going to get up to the age where God says, it won't be fair if I keep this up. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus. He's everywhere. And so he's going to start convicting them. How long does he give them? I can't answer that question. He started convicting me when I was 7 years old. I know that quite well, because I remember it. Because up until that time, man, I just, you know, playing post office out behind the church. Oh, I'm not supposed to mention that. Terry got me when I got home. But doing all that stuff, you know, I had to cut that out. And I thought, well, now I've given up something for Jesus. Oh, Lordy mercy. You say, well, nobody ever thinks like that. You probably did when you were young. So don't, anybody, don't you give me that look. Okay, and I'm going to preach about anime now. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, Jesus gave it to them. Makes a point of letting you know that. The others produced fruit. But that honest, he gave them a chance. But God gave them an honest and good heart. Why? Because they heard the word. You see that word, keep? The word is katiko. You say, what does katiko mean? It's inspired. So are all the words. Exactly what does it mean? It means to highly value something
where you draw it to you.
And you just can't get enough of it.
You retain it. You keep it. I know he keeps you, and it would be very tempting for me to say, see, the Lord keeps you, and you can't lose your salvation. But the word means they have great value for it. You got great value for it. Well, I don't know about Kenneth, but Charlie Holloman has great value for it. Robert, listen, you don't have to be a preacher to understand what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying. That's why you're here. You want to know what God's got to say. Well, I guarantee you, the preachers we got in this church now, they want you to know. And so does the deacon we got in here now. And so we just, you know, I'm so blessed. I just feel good all over, just like Rover. But Rover's going to go. He's not going to go anywhere now. Rover's going to go to sleep, and he ain't going to hell. The Lord ain't going to send my little dog to hell, but he ain't going up to heaven. You say, well, oh my goodness, what do you do? Well, we don't have anybody here young enough that I would hurt their feelings. You say, well, do you ever talk about Santa Claus at Christmas time? No, I don't, because I believed in Santa Claus, and I only got $0.19 little toy cannon. That's all I ever got for Christmas. But the joy of thinking that that big man was going to bring me something, I had to work for everything I ever got. Pop Mike didn't pay me for paying the lawn. They didn't pay me for going out and picking berries. They didn't do any of that stuff. I had to earn the money. For the first rifle I ever bought, it took me forever to learn it. I sold newspapers on the corner. You say, well, now you're bragging on yourself. No, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God, because Papa Mac taught me that. And where did Papa Mac get it? He was raised that way. And he worked hard all his life. They say that my great-grandfather worked himself to death. He was a worker. Well, the truth of the matter is, that 4 years, I've always worked hard. I can't work hard now, but I can sure preach the word, and God sure does help me, and I sure do feel a lot better about things I know now than I did when I first came up here. Keep it and bring forth fruit. Now, this is the most important word in this whole discourse, with patience. Hypomene. How many times have you heard that? Is patience a good word? Absolutely. Does it mean patience? Absolutely. But about half the time, it means endurance. Where are all the people on this church roll that once were part of this church, and they left here because you figure it out. He says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, cometh it with a vessel. Cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick. That was those little Hebrew lamps. They didn't have candles back then. Or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. I'm saying this to every one of you, and this is personally from me to you, so you can take it personal. And I mean every word of it. Do you know what I love to see? I love to see a bunch of people here because they love the Word of God. And I love to see a bunch of people here because I know we got every preacher in this church that preaches the Word of God. I know that. I know I do. I know they do. And remember Patrick up at Batesville. This is a very unusual church. And God has done a wonderful work with the people here. And the devil is going to do everything he can to hurt us. I guarantee you, I know how he works. God is like a mother hen that takes you under his wings. Israel didn't want that. I believe you want that. And I believe that the people come to this church, and I'm just not talking about you here, but I'm saying it to every one of you because you're here. Every time you come in here, I see a light. I see a light. I see a light in every one of you. There's no difference. I see it. I know it's there. Oh, I don't mean you wear a halo. Some of you don't have enough hair for a halo. But the truth of the matter is, you are here for the right reason. You have no idea how much joy that gives me. It gives Ken joy. It gives Chuck joy. Man, we like you. We like God. And we want to learn more about him. We want to teach you more about him. And if you don't quit preaching those messages, Robert, down here, I'm going to fire you. Now, I don't have that authority, but man alive, I tell you what, you've done such good, you've preached such good, the Lord's given you such good messages down here. I tell you what, I'm embarrassed for myself, because you know many of those things I was taught long ago. And you just kind of get away from it, and pretty soon you learn so much, you just start preaching a bunch of highfalutin stuff. I'm trying to get back to where I was, and you're helping me a lot. For nothing is secret. Remember this at the judgment seat of Christ. What about all these people that quit going to church, that don't assemble together? What about them? For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. You say, well, why don't something bad happen to all these people? Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's an evil, wicked laugh. And I'm going to tell you what. It may not happen in this life, but wait until they get up to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there aren't going to be any tears after the judgment seat of Christ. I'll acknowledge that. But, brother, there's going to be some spiritual tears shed at the judgment seat of Christ, because they're going to see people that were interested in what God had to say and wanted to critique it because they loved the Word. You say, well, what's going to happen if I get up there and I don't get anything? Is that why you did it? Or did you just do it because it was God's word and you finally figured out the only reason you loved him was because he first loved you? Man, that's the biggest reward I ever had in this life. It's the greatest reward I've ever had. It's a whole lot better than that 29-cent cannon, but I'm not complaining. Or was it 19? I can't remember. He says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. The judgment seat of Christ, they're going to find out. You say, well, is God going to take all of us and just take us one at a time? Oh, no. You don't have to do that. You can tell from what people are wearing. You can tell for the brightness there. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or I think it's 15. Anyway, it tells you the different brightnesses of the bodies that are going to come out of that judgment. And it tells you very plainly that some people are going to be wearing petticoats. It's in there. Not what's called a head. It's called naked. But which one do you want? Now, you say, well, I don't care for myself. But do you care for your children? Do you care for your nephews, your cousins, your aunts, the people that you love? Tell them about him. If they don't know Jesus, tell them how wonderful he is. You don't have to tell him all this stuff about being the Father. That'll thoroughly confuse him. If somebody told me that before I got saved, I thought, good Lord, what do I want to be in this? This is like the thing they used to send out, a little thing glowed in the dark, had a compass on it. Oh, start the morning with hot Ralston, and you surely will agree. It's a warmed up, filled up breakfast, full of cowboy energy. Take a tip from Tom, go and tell your mom, hot Ralston can't be beat. Now, that's my mentality when I was younger. Well, when I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You say, well, how old do you have to be? Well, 84 is a pretty good time. And I think I've put away childish things, but God is the one that put them away. Now, if you want to please God, I guarantee you, the preachers in this church will make it plain. I've gone a little bit over. Tell him when you get home, it's okay. He says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Believe it or not, he's the great I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Who is the great I am? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here right now. And he's in you. You say, well, I like that. Well, good, I do too. And when I got saved, I didn't know that. You say, well, you went through the seminary, did you know it? No. No, I didn't know that. I didn't know Jesus was all that. Well, I do now. And so, you're not going to get this going through a seminary. You're not going to get this going to some missionary Baptist churches. But I guarantee you, the preachers we got here now are what my grandfather was. And he played old maid's cards. He was a landmarker. You say, well, is that why God had him raise you? Yeah, that's why. And man, I thank God for it. Well, I'm 5 minutes over. Just don't tell Patrick. Chuck, would you dismiss us?